Good morning, Bridge Church family, and welcome to Family Sunday. We're so sorry that we're not there with you, and we are grateful for your grace with us, and really just want to thank the team. Pastor Rick and I had a family emergency late in the week, and we actually flew out to Missouri early Friday morning to be with our kids where we are right now, but we celebrate with you. And my prayer is that this video from my phone won't be too distracting and that the word of God will speak to you. Matter of fact, I just want to pray, Heavenly Father, may I decrease and you increase. May the format of the video and all the things not be a hindrance to your living word that has every ability to reach through a screen and into the hearts of people. And so God, let your word speak this morning as we dive in and learn about kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. And together the church said amen. So listen, we're gonna dig into Galatians 5:22-23, like we have in the beginning. I'm sorry there's no text on the screen. I'm going to do my best to reference every verse we talk about. They can't put up scriptures and me at the same time. So way to go, tech team. You're rocking it this morning. Okay, so let's start out. Galatians 5:22-23. You should know this by now. If you don't, then do your best. And if you do, then read it with me anyway. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Today we talk about kindness. And even as we do that, I want to remind us what we have seen over and over in these first 5 weeks, that the characteristics or qualities of the fruit of the Spirit are divine. These are things that are impossible goals without God. But the believer for us, these are manifestations of the Father himself through the submitted, Spirit-filled child of God, which is who we're called to be. Therefore, we can live beyond ourselves, beyond our human capabilities, and walk in step with the Spirit as we're called to. Now, today, as we talk about kindness, I want to go first to the Greek, which is Christotes, which is the quality of being warm-hearted, considerate, humane, gentle, and sympathetic, or more clearly stated, a tender heart and a nurturing spirit. It is not something that is an action, a one-time act. It is the spirit of goodness, the spirit of a tender heart, the spirit of nurturing that is walked in consistently. Now, it's pretty cool it's Family Sunday because we get to give our kids a shout out here, because if we're being honest, you guys, kids, have a much easier time accepting this kindness quality of God than us adults. The reality is that as adults, it's much easier for us to relate to the sovereignty of God or the strength of God before we think of his kindness. The reality is, as adults, we almost view God like teens view their parents, right? We're so focused on God as our authority figure versus a child who sees God or sees their parent as their safe place, the place they turn for comfort and shelter, the place they turn to curl up in our laps when they need to be held. And perhaps that's why on more than one occasion, Jesus reminds us to come to him as a little child. When he's asked who is greatest in the kingdom, he calls up, scoops up the children, and he says, these are the greatest in the kingdom. Come to me like the little children, Jesus says. The reality is that's hard, right? Even as we look at this word, it's hard to tap into, because as adults, we have the experience of living in a fallen world. We have the experience of living in a world where the free will brings natural consequences that often impact others who didn't do anything wrong. Where in a fallen world, death and sickness and illness exist. and again, keeping it real, where a really good God focuses not only on the here and now, but on the everywhere and the eternal. And in all of that, we live in a world where bad things happen to good people. And so it can be hard to dig in and relate to the kindness of God because we have that experience that our kids haven't yet lived or haven't lived long enough to let it jade them. And so God has a word for us today to bring some healing and some renewal and some restoration. Now, in all of those things, we can forget, right? Like, we can forget that the source of evil and the source of bad things is the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy, not the one who came to give his life so that we could have the abundant life. So I want to remind us today, church, that God is a God of love and of grace. He is El Shaddai, the God of sufficiency. And as we remember that, I want to start us today in Romans 8. And as it's Family Sunday, and honestly, so that we can relate more to that tender heart of God, to the heart of God's word, I want to start us out with the first few verses from the Message. And I want to read to you Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 6 in the Message says, "It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in an old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience." Pause. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. I'll just say that. All right, back to it. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead is the "but God" moment, right? Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did this all on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now here's where I'm going to switch over to the NIV for verse 7. It says, "In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Now that's a whole lot, right? And in that, if we're not clear on the kindness in Christ Jesus that he offers us to turn our lives around, if we're not clear on the kindness of the characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, then I'm just going to take us real quick to Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. It says, But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, in other words, expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus, back to Titus, "but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior." So kindness, the fruit of the Spirit that we can live, right? Kindness starts with God. The greatest representation of God's kindness to us comes through Jesus Christ, who in his kindness came to us before we were ever aware of him. By the way, the church word for that is called prevenient grace. It's the grace that goes before us knowing who God is, already caring for us, already being kind to us. And yet somehow in all of that, when God calls us to be kind, if we're being honest, we can forget. we can forget his kindness to us, and we can forget to demonstrate it to others. And I'll be honest, that's why the world doesn't see God as kind. And it's why we struggle sometimes, right? And I'm not saying it's not a real struggle. It is. Matter of fact, it is such a real struggle that God calls us out on it. And that's where we get to Romans 2, verses 1 to 4. He says, Paul's talking to the church. He says, you therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever you point, you judge others. You are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment, you do the same things. It goes on down further in the verse. Do you think you will escape God's judgment, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Catch that. God's kindness is not meant to lead you towards condemnation. God's kindness is not meant to lead you towards guilt. It's meant to lead you towards repentance. So you turn to God away from the things that bring death towards the things that bring life. And so church, it's not just for us, but as the hands and feet of God, it's our responsibility to carry God's kindness into a world that needs him, so that they are then led to God, who can heal them. Theologian and hymn writer Frederick Faber said, kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, and learning. Now, I want to remind us, that doesn't happen because of some random act of kindness, or because once a week we choose to do the drive-through difference, or once a month we choose to give money away to somebody who's in need, or once a month we, or when there's one particular circumstance, or when someone really deserves it, when someone's really in need and it's not their fault, they didn't do anything for the mess they're in, or whatever the circumstance is. Should we be kind in those moments? Absolutely. Are we called to be kind in those moments? Absolutely. But we aren't called to random acts of kindness. We are called to an attitude and heart of kindness that is continual and flows through us as we walk in step with the Spirit. Not once in a while, but all the time. Now look, I know that's a lot, and that's the head knowledge of it. But we gotta get from head to heart. We, if we're gonna walk this out, have to see, and not just see and not just read, but experience where that kindness comes from. And so to take this from big theology to real life, from a big heavenly lesson to our most basic needs, I wanna encourage us, like Jesus did, to come and experience the kindness of God from the perspective of a little child, from the heart of a child. And that's not just some great tie-in for Family Sunday, which, by the way, we had no idea this was going to fall on Family Sunday. We actually had delayed everything by a week, so originally it wasn't going to fall on a Family Sunday. But I want to ask, like, why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus continually tell us to come with the heart of a child? I mean, maybe because children are innocent. Yes, that's true. Because they're uninhibited. Yeah, that's true too. Because they're not restricted by the filters of proper behavior or filtering their speech to not actually say what they're thinking or what they're feeling because it's not appropriate. Every parent can say, amen, that's true. Because they don't come through lenses and filters of hurt and unforgiveness, that's true too. All that is true, but I think the reality is that the parent-child picture that God gives us is painted for us and demonstrated to us in the Old Testament. Long before Jesus ever sat in a town square, in a village square, and called the children to him, God painted a continual picture of a loving father and a loving mother, a perfect parent and a child. Now listen, if you struggle to see God as a loving, nurturing, tender-hearted parent, particularly because of hurts from earthly parents or parent figures, then my prayer today for you is the same as my prayer for years has been for me, that we would experience God afresh and anew this morning, that we would find deep healing in our hearts as we explore him as the perfect parent through these pictures he gives us in the Old Testament. So before we go there, I want you to ask a question. I want to ask you a question, sorry. I want you to think of a small child, and whether that's baby Grayson or Aaliyah, Cambry or Jackson, Kai or Kaisley, whoever the small child is, maybe it's the little child that you see outside the ice cream shop or at the grocery store, right? What do they need from their parents? What are they looking for? What are the things that they turn to their mom or their dad or their grandma or their aunt to receive? I think we can agree that like the basic needs of a child are food, shelter, and direction. Like, I need you to meet my physical needs, and I need you to meet my emotional needs, and I need you to lead me, because as a child, I don't know where to go. I mean, think of the fear in a child's eye when they are lost. Like, you can spot a lost child in a crowd of 1,000 people. You can tell if a child is lost and they realize it because there's fear. And you can also see the relief in their face when they see they lock eyes with their parent or their parent scoops them up. And that's something that's so tangible. And I want you to hold on to that picture as we turn to Hosea 11, verses 1 to 4. And I'm going to be in the NIV. And before we go there, I want to remind us, particularly those of us who have a hard time feeling like there's a God who could ever really love us, or even when we recognize that there is a God who loves, that he could ever really love us, that he could ever really forgive us, that he could ever really receive and accept us, much less desire us, because of our actions, our past actions, maybe our present actions, then my prayer is that you find healing today, that you find healing in this living word from Hosea 11, verses 1 to 4. I want to read to you. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals and they burned incense to images. It was I, God says, who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them, God says. I led them with cords of human kindness and with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Church, do you see the Christotes, or the nurturing of God in their healing, even though they didn't know it was him? That they didn't recognize him, even as they credited false gods and human hands with their provision, God was present, providing, leading, healing, nurturing. And in their defiance, God healed them anyway. And in their defiance, he loved them anyway. He led them out with cords of human kindness anyway. And I want to tell us this over and over and over. God is at work in our lives, even when we do not acknowledge it as Him. And we think that when we're busy not acknowledging Him, He's always at work strengthening and punishing or giving us consequences to get us in the right direction. But He is most often wooing us with a carrot, not prodding us with a stick. He said, to them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek. I bent down to feed them. I want you to stop and really picture that. See the image of a father bending down to a child to feed them. Now, I know that there is a time for strength. I know that there is a time when we want warrior God, Lion of Judah. We want strength of God that just scoops in and takes care of our situation like a holy Superman. There is a time for sovereignty and all-powerful God. But there is a time where God lifts us, where He doesn't lift us in strength, but like a mother lifts a baby just enough that they come to the cheek, when a father does the same thing. And there is time when kindness takes a knee. God says, I bent down to feed them. There is a time in our lives, over and over and over, there are times in our lives where we don't have the strength to get up to God, to stand up in the midst of it. And in that, God in all His kindness takes a knee to bring us just what we need, where we need it. And I want to leave it on that happy, beautiful image. But again, we're called to walk in the characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. We're called to walk in that same kindness. And just as God spoke to in Romans 2, we don't treat others the way that God treats us. I mean, how often have I had the opportunity to be kind to someone and my response in my heart, even if it doesn't come out of my mouth, my first response is they don't deserve that. They're being a jerk. Why would I be kind to them? They're not being nice. Why would I be kind to them? They're being mean to me. Why would I be kind to them? And I know that's true. And I know that's hard because, again, the number of times I've thought that or felt that. But I want us to go back to this picture that God paints for us and remind us of this lesson that He teaches that's really powerful, which is kindness is not dependent on the receiver's attitude, belief, or knowledge. It is dependent on the heart of the giver. And we're supposed to walk with the heart of God. As God walks with us in that kindness. Now, one more place I want to take us in Isaiah 49. It's verses 14 to 16, one more Old Testament passage where God again refers to this parent-child relationship. And He actually talks about the flaws of a human parent as He says that He is not flawed like a human parent. And so as we go there, as you turn there in your Bibles or on your phones, just like I asked us a minute ago or spoke to those of us who have a hard time believing God can ever accept us, I also want to speak to those of us who have felt forgotten by God, because the reality is sometimes we do. And that happens for a lot of reasons. It happens because good things, because bad things happen to good people, and we believe good things should happen to good people. It happens because evil impacts the innocent. It happens when we're in a really long season of waiting and trial. And I don't know if that's you, but I want to tell you that even as I've prepared to deliver this, I have prayed, and even as I speak it, I am actively praying that you will experience healing, that you will realize that even as God called us to remind a forgotten community that they are seen, known, and loved by God, He doesn't expect that to deliver us out of our own brokenness. It comes and flows from the promise that God sees, knows, and loves you and me. Isaiah 49:14-16. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." I want to pause there because these verses were picked out long before our family emergency ever happened at the end of the week. But Thursday morning when I reread these words, if I'm being honest, if I'm speaking candidly, it's like God plucked the thoughts right out of my head. And I was like, where are you, God? How could you have me in this passage right now? As we walk beside our youngest son and his wife, much like we did several years ago with our oldest son and his wife, through a season of terrible pain and loss. If I'm being honest, if I'm keeping it real with y'all, like I tell you to keep it real with us, I was about done. Like, I read, "The Lord has forgotten me," and I was like, God, you have forgotten my kids. How could you let this happen again? But God, in that moment, He encouraged me. And not in an audible voice, but in that still small voice in my spirit, He just said, "Keep reading, child. Trust me. I have some salve for your heart." Passage goes on in verse 15. "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget," God says, "I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." Now, God not only compares Himself to father, but as mother. And He talks about how He does not forget us, even though a human parent might, He does not. And then He says, "See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." Now, I want to tell you, as a child and a teen who faced parents who abused, discarded, and forgot me, I had to remind myself of the previous verses, that God went before me, leading me through cords of human kindness when I didn't know He existed yet. Along His path to healing, He led me before I ever knew He was there. And then I could find comfort in this passage that a God who has not forgotten me, a God who will never discard or abuse me, I could find healing. And I want to ask, church family, from the position of a child, do you know God as parent? Can you look to Him for that nurturing, even if you didn't receive it as a kid? Or are we more like the teenager who just looks to God for boundaries and rules and blessings? And for us, even as we walk through a painful week, I have to remind myself that if I allow my past hurts to prevent me from seeking and experiencing the comfort of God as a perfect father, then I'm missing out. So if you are too hurt by the scars of your own human parents to trust God, I want to encourage you to drop the walls, to drop the barriers that you've built up, and to allow yourself to be vulnerable to a perfect Father who wants nothing more than to heal you. And I also want to say that we will never be able to walk in kindness and tenderheartedness to others if we do not allow God the space to heal us and to receive from Him kindness and nurturing and tenderheartedness. He wants your heart to be that of a trusting child. And no matter what your crisis, He bends down to not just lift your cheek to His, but He bends down to provide for your needs and give you comfort. But it's still hard, right? And if you remember back a few weeks ago, we talked about God getting real right up in the reality of our life. And here's the moment where God got really real in my reel this week. I want you to go back and see where it says He engraved. We're engraved on the palm of His hands. That word, chagag, means to hack, to chisel, or to cut, and usually into stone. And I want you to see this picture of grace that and redemption that God paints, a picture of Him holding up His hands and saying, "See, I have you engraved on the palm of my hand." And then there's this moment where God said, "See Jesus lifting up His nail-scarred hands to a doubting Thomas to say, 'See, Thomas. See, Jen. See, Rick. See, Caleb and Olivia. See, Dylan and Holly. See, Susan and Guthrie. I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten the children I formed in your womb. I have their names, your names, chiseled onto my hand.'" Now, I know that's super personal. So I would say to you, what is your hurt? What is your deep wound? What is your pain? Because Jesus is saying to you right now, "See, see Charles, see Gina, see Chris, see Pastor Mary, see Earl, Sabrina, Tim, Becky, see," I'm calling out every person in the whole congregation, "see, I have not forgotten you. Your name is engraved in the palm of my hand, and you have eternal hope, and you have eternal life, and you have healing in my hands," Jesus says. And in that moment, I began to find healing in the kindness of God. And my prayer is that you will too. I think the thought I want to most leave us with, or the questions, is do you or will you, maybe for the first time, allow God, the Father, to nurture you? Will you accept the hands scarred by the engraving of our very own names upon them, not to chasten you or guilt you or shame you, but to lift you up, or even more, accept the hands that turn towards you as God kneels down to comfort you in the midst of your pain? Will you accept His kindness? And when you do, will you allow it to heal you so that it can flow through you to others?